Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the first ever episode of Views from Stadium Boulevard. My name is Hannah Harshi, and I'm here with my friend Harley Johnson. We're both University of Michigan students, and we talk a lot about Michigan basketball and football, so we decided to give you guys the privilege of listening to our conversations every other week as we discuss it.
But of course, we are excited to have you guys join us in on this journey together, and we're looking forward to what this season has and looking to what March has in store for Michigan basketball.
Mm-hmm. So it's weird to think about how literally 1 week ago, today's Friday or Thursday, we were complaining about how we were always going to be ranked number two. We're like, there's nothing we can possibly do to be ranked number one. Duke could lose every single game and they would still be ranked number one because like every AP voter has a crush on Zion Williamson. and just complaining about that a lot. So now that a lot has happened in this past week, we just came off of two really messy games, and it's sort of weird to think about what that could mean for Michigan basketball. But yeah, so first we're going to go over the Wisconsin game, and then we'll go into a little bit of a recap of the Minnesota game.
So Michigan went into – I almost said Minnesota. That's super uncomfortable. Michigan went in ranked number two against Wisconsin. Wisconsin was unranked. And
yikes.
we were delivered our first loss of the season, rather our first loss since the final from last year.
Yeah.
So for those of you who didn't know, going into the Wisconsin game, we were, 31 of 32? And the one loss came from Villanova a year ago. So we were off to our best start in school history. Hannah and I went to the Northwestern game when we went 17-0.
It was so high.
So it was really interesting to go from like beating a Northwestern team by 20 points to going to this road game and losing to Wisconsin by 10. It was obviously like difficult to watch, but we also like, knew like some point we had to like lose.
Right. And it's basketball. So, I mean, we're pretty good at losing in football too, like when we feel the need to do that. But it's not like it's football where you're aiming to go undefeated. In basketball, you're really just aiming to prepare yourself for March. And so one loss probably does a better job of preparing ourselves for March than winning the entire season would. So it's not the end of the world, but it was still like, I haven't had to watch Michigan basketball lose in so long. I think the last time I watched them lose, I lost Harley after because she was like running away angrily, and I lost to San Antonio because I didn't know where she was. So glad we didn't deal with that time. But it's just been a while since we've watched them lose, and I think that does a lot to our morale. It probably does even more to the team's morale, or I don't know. Maybe they're better at handling than we are. Let's hope so.
But also, like, it didn't hurt as much, obviously, because it was, like, just a regular season game. And I think, like, a part of us knew at some point, like, it was bound to happen regardless. And it kind of takes the pressure off of our team, which is really good for them because they don't have to live up to this, like, standard of having to keep going at, like, such, like, high stakes. And I think we can feel the solidarity because not only are we no longer undefeated, UVA isn't either. So we can kind of share that and – obviously, like, our loss was definitely eclipsed by whatever Duke was doing that week, so it doesn't really matter.
Kind of everything
in the long run.
Eclipsed by whatever Duke is doing that week.
I think, like, our, like, loss to an undefeated Wisconsin was, like, news for, like, 5 minutes, because I think a Duke game was afterwards, so.
A Duke game was afterwards. They made it very clear through that entire broadcast that there was a Duke game on later.
Oh, yeah, that was UVA.
Yeah.
You're right.
But, yeah, just the season was more hyped than any other Michigan basketball season. I'm excited that's over, because maybe I can get a seat in Chrysler again, and I want it to be way up at the top. But some weird things happened during that game as well, like regardless of if we won or lost. I think the weirdest, quirkiest little thing that happened in that game was that a certain John Teske was our leading scorer. He is so improved from last year, just like looking at how he plays and everything.
And without his presence, like if he fouls early, You can definitely see the repercussions from that, because when he's pulled from the floor, it looks like a nightmare. And having him emerge in such like a spectacular fashion since the Big Ten tournament last year, it's a lot more comforting, especially with the exit of like three of our like defenders. So
yeah, it was weird. Like, everyone was like, oh, Michigan lost their three-point shooters. And we're like, oh, well, you know, like, maybe, like, Iggy will be one. Like, Jordan Poole. Like, literally, no, John Chesky was going to emerge.
John Chesky is a three-point shooter, everybody.
I think the first time Chesky had his first three-pointer, it was against Purdue. And
we watched it.
Yeah, we were there. And Harley goes, she goes, you better hope Chesky never tries to shoot a three. It was the ugliest three-point shot in the world. And then he goes to shoot, and everyone in Chrysler, and Harley's like, no! But it went in, and it's been going ever since.
I like to think that I'm John Teske's motivator by always doubting him.
Every time he gets the ball, she's like, no!
You just, like, he, like, has that look, and he's, like, going for the pull-up. I'm like, please don't. And then, lo and behold, sometimes it goes in, and I'm like, you know, if I have to watch it and you, like, make the actual bucket, like, fine. You do you.
A lot of times it goes in. He had 15 points against Wisconsin, which is a lot of points. And a lot of points against Northwestern, too. I don't know how many off the top of my head. But Wisconsin also was just a messy game in terms of everything. I think a lot of people talk about how the Kohl Center is just, like, the worst place to play basketball. Not for the Wisconsin team, but for us, it's not usually that big of a conversation, like, before a game, how the atmosphere of the away court is, but the Kohl Center, you hear it nonstop, like, oh, Michigan has to go to the Kohl Center. I feel like in football, I really love Wisconsin. They're, like, my second favorite team because the fans are all so nice and fun. They're like, we're just happy to be here. We like to lose to Michigan. We just like to play Michigan. And then in basketball, they're just the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, it's just you playing Ethan Happ for 50 years, and
when does he go away?
But that just speaks volumes about the Big Ten road games in general. It's definitely difficult to go on the road against a Big Ten school, and a lot of people don't give credit to that, obviously, because we're often eclipsed by the powerhouses of the ACC. But in all honesty, I wasn't that shocked. I was like, if we were going to be delivered a road loss, it would definitely probably be Wisconsin. Just, yeah, with all the considerations of atmosphere, just a road game in general, a different kind of mentality, because they were definitely obviously the underdog. They were going against the number two team in the country, and everyone was pulling for an upset.
Yeah, think about what a big game that was for Wisconsin.
It was a huge game for Wisconsin. And I'm pretty sure that's definitely going to, like, hold up their, like, resume, you know, for March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, like, good for the Big Ten, and it's good for Wisconsin. So hats off to them. We're still number five, and hopefully that will help you in the long run. So
just looking at our numbers from the Wisconsin game, our field goal percentage was 40.7%. Our three-point percentage was 27.8%. Harley put a little note. She's like, I thought it would be like 4%.
I thought we were talking about the Minnesota game, That is definitely probably still relevant.
As a reference, against Northwestern, when we won by 20 points, we had 52.5 field goal percentage and 40.7% from the three. So yeah, just shooting alone can make a huge, huge difference. We had 16 turnovers against Wisconsin and 10 fouls, which explains a lot of why the game looked so messy and gross to watch.
Yeah, keep in mind, like, last year, Michigan was the number two team in the country, right?
For turnovers,
yeah.
I know that, probably.
With the fewest turnovers. We're averaged around, like, 9, I believe.
And we still have a really low turnover rate right now.
Yes. That's, like, a definite line, like, emphasis. Because, obviously, we can see the repercussions of having a multitude of turnovers.
Yeah. This is a quote from the Mason Brew Twitter, so quick shout out. They said, Iggy didn't score, Matthews had 5 points, Poole was bad in the second half. It's very unlikely that all of these things happen in a game at the same time, but it did today. And that's kind of my general thought about the Wisconsin game. I'm not worried about the state of Michigan basketball, just like I wasn't, like, okay, I was kind of excited. But after the Northwestern game, when Xavier and John Teske both decided to have, like, fantastic shooting days, which they don't usually do, and a lot of people are like, is this, like, is Michigan basketball changing? Like, is this the beginning of something? It's like, no, probably not. But we have players who sometimes have good days and sometimes have bad days. And when a lot of them have a good day at the same time, we win by a lot. And apparently we can lose when a lot of them have a bad day at the same time.
That's a good point. And we can also still, like, maintain a semblance of a game with some of the worst free throws shooting in the nation.
Yeah.
So I am also not worried. If all the pieces are working together, obviously we have spectacular results, and we still have plenty of time to build off of the mistakes of the last two games to learn from them and move forward, so we don't have those problems again when it actually matters. Not like these games don't matter.
But they kind of don't.
But in the long run, we're looking for a different kind of prize. So
I'm glad the, like, little babies, the freshmen specifically, are learning how to lose too, because, like, they literally haven't lost at Michigan. Iggy had never lost at Michigan ever since he became, like, the little superstar of Michigan basketball. He hadn't lost, so now he's learning how to deal with that, and I'm glad he's learning now instead of, I don't know, if they lost in the Big Ten tournament and they had to go into March off a loss, like, that wouldn't be good.
And it also just teaches the Iggy and the whole team, like, what it's like to have, like, a terrible game. Mm-hmm. Iggy didn't have a single point, and he played for 23 minutes.
Yikes.
And I'm pretty sure that was definitely hard for him, because for the majority of the games, he has been the leading scorer and kind of the backbone of our offense. So
where is he now, though?
So the same thing with Jordan, if those two.
And Charles Matthews.
Good point. If they're not all, like, working together and in tandem, and if shots aren't falling, it's definitely hurts the ego a lot. And but having them keep shooting, keep attempting to just get out of
the vibe.
The slump, I guess, will definitely help.
Yeah.
Build them as characters and help them move towards their own goals.
Like in life?
I mean, Charles Matthews is a senior, and obviously he doesn't want this on his resume.
I thought even, like, their goals, like, I don't know, like, academically.
No.
Do you want to go into Minnesota?
Sure thing.
Okay. So I hated the Minnesota game.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. And so if you didn't see it, it was a messy game. Charles Matthews said after the game that, like, he doesn't like the term ugly win, because he's like, a win is a win, which is fair, but I didn't enjoy sitting there in Chrysler watching it.
That was mostly just because you were really, like, not feeling the walk to Chrysler.
I felt like I was in another dimension. I'm not even kidding. My legs are still sore from walking to Chrysler through that ice.
But that just shows the dedication that we have and the Michigan fan base has to showing up.
Yeah, it's like, Chrysler. Better give us a win if we're
in an ice
walk
storm.
To Chrysler like that. But so we have, like, a list of our stats, and our first stat is, remember when Isaiah plopped?
What does that mean?
He just kind of, never mind, we'll just go on to the next stat. But he just kind of plopped.
Okay, so no. Isaiah had a breakaway, and he went up for the dunk, and he missed, and it was right in front of the student section.
Well, right in front of where we were, not really in the base range section.
Fine, the band and us, so that definitely had to hurt. And later on in the game, he made a big show to definitely get slam dunk right in front of everyone else to redeem himself. You can totally tell.
Yeah, we were both like, we remembered. I don't know why, but that was
like, we ain't forget.
But other stats that are a little bit more depressing, we shot 13 point, well, I guess, sorry, Isaiah, your popping was kind of depressing. But
it was funny.
But we shot,
but also just, like, representative of the game as a whole, like,
It wasn't as bad.
No
as
shots were falling. Block. Everything was going off the rim or off the side of the backboard or
hence
over the
13.6% from the three. That's like, imagine sitting watching a game and only 13.6% of the three-pointers go in. That's what we had to endure. That's what we walked through an ice storm for.
To also extend on that point, John Teske was the first person to actually make a three in the game.
It was a weird game. Lone I felt ball. Like I was in another world. I was zoned out 90% of it. I think I needed a Snickers bar or something.
Yeah, for the first half, Hannah was not paying like attention at all. I don't know where she went, but like at one point, Brandon Johns Jr. came in for the as the five, and
he hadn't come in since the Indiana game. It had been so
long. And I was
long.
Like hitting her.
Wondering why.
It's like Hannah.
I'm
look.
Like, what?
She was exactly like that. I was like, Brandon Johns is in right now. And then she went on like a rant about you know, the center position in this a whole.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
I was like, yeah. So Brandon Johns play, there's another point. Apparently, I guess I didn't see it. He wasn't in for that long. I think he played like 2 minutes or something like that.
I think he had two free throws and made one, which is definitely representative of our free throw shooting.
Yeah, so Harley, you said we should have lost just off of statistics.
We should have. I was reading through the stats from the game, and they like outshot us, out rebounded us. But apparently, like Iggy's 1 point from a free throw was enough to change the tide, I guess.
What was it that happened in the beginning that you were like, "This is gonna be. It's gonna come down to that." Was it Iggy missing a free throw?
It was. Yes.
Or no, it was Jordan Poole's 2 missed free throws.
Yes,
you're like,
Jordan
the game is going to come down to those
two points,
and I hope
yes.
he knows it's because of him.
No offense, but it did.
but yeah, I think we should, just to back up a little bit, reiterate that Minnesota is not a good team. This wasn't a game that not to like rag on Minnesota. Clearly they are a good team because they played
a
good game
against us. They like to give us a run for our money.
Yeah, but this wasn't
they
a game that
overtime
we had.
Overtime last year.
It's not a game that we were expecting to look the way it did. I was hoping for another Northwestern looking game, especially that we're home again.
I mean, they weren't bad. They've only had 4 losses going into our game.
No, yeah. Okay, yeah. They aren't bad, but it wasn't a game that we're like Wisconsin, a lot of people were predicting that as our first loss. I didn't really see anyone who was predicting Minnesota to be our first loss.
Yeah, it was nice to escape a 2-game losing streak. Thank you, Charles Matthews.
Yeah.
In all honesty, but I think a highlight for me were the amount of steals that I saw during the game. Like, our defense was stellar.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't
that.
Shoot. They wouldn't.
But
they wouldn't
then
score.
Our offense. Yeah, we had so many opportunities to just make points off of turnovers, and we absolutely did not. Minnesota had 16 turnovers, and.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what the stats say about the points that we had off of those, but I know it wasn't many because I watched most of them not like make a shot. We only had 6. And I think that's the only section that we beat Minnesota in was having fewer turnovers.
Wow.
I mean, obviously the like actual score itself, but
yeah, but just looking at the stats, that's they have a lot to vibe during practice. So that's good. That's
yeah.
a plus. Do we want to move on to the next little section?
Sure.
All right. So is this when we were...
Wait, where did you go?
We kind of already touched on this, but we wanted to give our little view from Chrysler just so you can kind of envision yourself there if you have always wanted to be sitting at the very top of, right above the marching band in
You're
Chrysler.
Basically a banner, if I
yeah.
do say so myself, but then you can't see the, like, stats.
Yeah,
or the
we
scoreboard.
Literally have to search this like the stats on ESPN because the board is like blocked by the banners. So
and
there's that.
Various other beams. But it was pure Michigan on the way.
It was straight up ice on all of the sidewalks.
I walked through snow 90% of the time because it was less slippery.
Harley made me meet her at the bus stop because she was like, we're going to get there early. So I vibe over to the bus stop, like slipping and sliding. I get there. We wait there for like 4 years.
The buses were packed.
Every single commuter South Bend passed by. Because
everyone had the same idea. So if you don't know, Michigan has a bus that goes all the way down to Chrysler Center. And it only runs on the weekdays. So if there's a basketball game during the week, you can be like, oh, thank goodness. I don't have to brave the winter. I don't have to brave the ice or the elements. I can take the bus all the way down and all the way back. But no, everyone had the same idea.
On it.
Yeah, all the North Campus kids definitely beat us out. And so we had to walk. And
past my apartment again. So I went all the way to the bus stop, did not make any progress. And we were slipping and sliding the whole way there. This kid was like pretending to be a penguin. And I was like getting annoyed because I was like, that was on the way back.
I was
actually
like, was that me?
He was pretending to be a penguin. No, yeah. He was pretending to be a penguin. And he was like making cow noises. And I was like, dude, like that's how penguins do. I was trying to be funny. But yeah, so there's your little view of Chrysler. Yes. I hope you want to come now and support our team.
Yeah. Brave the elements, and it's really difficult to try and move your seat.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's about it.
Well, we kind of already touched on this, but our next section was like, what are our overall thoughts of Michigan basketball right now, and mm-hmm. whether or not this little rough patch worries us.
I think I take comfort in what you've been saying, what John Beilein's been saying. You either make the shots or you don't, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, and that determines our game. And I'm not at all worried. I don't really want to call it like a rough spot, but I guess statistically that's what it looks like. But everyone obviously goes into like a lull at some point. Even like our other like national championship contenders did the same thing.
Aww.
So I think our team this year should take pride in what they accomplished with the first 17 wins and just move forward the best that they can. And obviously just to like kind of get mad about like
mm-hmm.
what they know they're better and they've definitely played better. But we can't be seeing the likes of this later.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think John Beilein said after the Northwestern game, like, don't get too excited about this. It looks like it was a really good game, but the biggest difference is just that the shots are going in. We aren't necessarily playing any better. And yeah, I mean, this time last year, I barely was following basketball because there just wasn't that much to watch. We weren't as hyped as we are right now.
That's a good point. I didn't go to a game.
Yeah. And I honestly kind of prefer that going into March. I mean, a higher seed is better because it makes your schedule easier for the tournament, but it's also nice not to be a UVA who gets overhyped. Like, it's nice to be someone who can go in kind of under the radar and surprise people, which I think is sort of Michigan basketball's MO. And
yeah,
they've kind of lost that ability from being too good. I think it's also interesting because I remember over the summer we talked a lot about what Beilein is going to do with such a hyped recruiting class because he had never really had one of those before that was so highly ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of known for taking these under-ranked players and developing them into really good players. And now he was given this recruiting class, not given, but he had this recruiting class that was really hyped from the start. And we didn't really know exactly what he was going to do, if he was going to be able to develop them the way he developed his other players. And now we're kind of seeing what can happen and what Michigan looks like when it's a super hyped up team.
And I think a lot of that comes off of, what I read somewhere is that I think like Michigan has presented itself as such because the majority of the team like knows how to like play at high stakes because mm-hmm. the majority of them were in the final. And so they aren't really fazed by anything else because the stakes aren't as high.
Right.
And I think it's definitely nice to have like Iggy just like okay. It's definitely nice to have Iggy just fit in as a nice piece because it looks like he was there the whole time.
The whole I wanted to also fit in like a nice piece. Brandon Johns. I just think it would be really nice if they could incorporate him more.
Yeah, John Beilein will obviously work with the depth of the team for the next coming weeks, but I think your like 6-7 man rotation is kind of solidifying, so we'll see. We'll see if John Teske gets into some foul trouble. I guess we'll find out.
I like your analysis that you have here.
Oh, that's what I just said.
Yeah. If Iggy and Charles are okay. If Iggy and Charles and Jordan are like, I really, really, really want to play today, and John isn't in foul trouble, we're amazing.
And that is basically the gist. Yeah.
So we have some superlatives, some little awards that we wanted to give our little basketball players this week.
I don't like that.
Here we go. Do you want to vibe the first one? Yeah, can we get like a drum roll?
No.
Okay, no, yeah.
Okay, no. So most likely to zone out when Brandon John Jr.
Whoa.
Anyway, most likely to zone out when Brandon John's Jr. vibes into the game. Hannah Hershey.
Yeah, I didn't want to be there. As previously stated. Most likely to miss a three-pointer against Minnesota. Everyone except Teske, Iggy, and Isaiah.
Wow.
I think you put that.
I did, but like, who put this one? I'm not doing that.
Okay, no, I'll say it because I did that one.
Yeah, you did.
Vibe the vibes. Teske and Xavier. That was specifically for Northwestern, but they really vibe the vibes.
They really did. Diaper Dandy of the Week, aka Freshman of the Week. Who did we pick? We said not Iggy, no offense, but it took him 27 minutes to score 1 point. Brandon was in for a minute and he had 1 point from a free throw. So we props pick Zion Williamson.
Oh, congratulations. Most likely to go 27 minutes without a point. Well, like, honestly, most of the team, because most of them play a lot. But we specifically would like to highlight Iggy for accomplishing this feat this week.
Shout out to you. Most likely to slip and miss, Isaiah.
We're, like, really reiterating that. We just want to make sure everyone knows. And then put most.
Not nearly as bad as Steph Curry, but, like, it was pretty bad.
I think that's why I, like, giggled at it so much. It was, like, reminiscent of the Steph Curry thing that happened just the day before. Most likely to slip on the ice goofing around, Jordan, probably.
Yeah, player of the week, we handed out to John Teske.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job. Go him. So we're going to go ahead and preview our next Michigan basketball game, which is Indiana on the road.
On the road. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
I believe it's
I think you're right. Shoot. So that's kind of scary.
Be tested on the road again.
Yeah.
But Indiana has been having some, like, topsy-turvy season.
Sorry, I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, they're on a 5-game losing streak currently, and they were at some point ranked in the top 25, I believe, as number 25. But I don't know. They're pretty wounded at this point, and I doubt they're going to want to lose to the likes of us. But it'll definitely be interesting because statistically, we are pretty similar as teams. The only difference is our, like, points allowed. We average about 57 to Indiana's 66. So our defense is a lot stronger than theirs. But that's just pretty much, like, reminiscent of the whole, like, season so far, as we're pretty well-known for our defense.
So we're only favored to win by 3.5 points.
Which makes sense, because it's definitely – it could either be back and forth or a blowout. I don't really know which one.
Remember when Michigan had, like, never trailed before, specifically in, like, 2 games or something?
No. Because we trail a lot.
I tell myself that Michigan has never trailed. I told myself that through the entire Wisconsin game when we were behind by quite a bit.
To which I responded with a screenshot of the Holy Cross game from, like, the beginning of the season. To which I was shut down immediately.
Yeah, okay. So
positive vibes only.
Indiana should be a good game. It should be probably not that fun to watch, but we'll suffer through it and we'll be glad that we watched it.
I hope.
And if we lose, it's literally just another lesson learned. It's not like football where Ole Miss has up that much. I think we'll be fine either way. But it would be nice for Michigan to get back on their game and to watch another win.
That's a good point.
So we kind of already went over this, but we wanted to say some tips for students going to Michigan basketball games in the winter because it is tough.
It really is. It took like 30 minutes to get there.
And I don't live that far from Chrysler.
I'm pretty sure that's like normal, but like, oh my God.
No, it definitely took longer than usual because of all the snow. My biggest tip is if you live on North Campus, get a commuter south as soon as possible because you guys are the only ones who can get the commuter souths because they fill up by the time they get to Central Campus. And if you live on Central Campus, don't even try to get one. Just don't waste time waiting at the bus stop. Just start walking
also
an hour before the game, two hours, three hours, 4 hours, 3 days.
Also another tip, if you're like me and you didn't buy season tickets, UMich Athletics like emails me all the time with like deals because they definitely want to sell out. So I've gone to like games for as low as like $5. So definitely like keep a lookout for like student deals, especially because you want to get in on these like games now because it'll definitely be more expensive to go if Michigan makes it far in the tournament to go see them. So
And also on that,
take advantage of that.
If you're a student or honestly anyone and you're not in the Facebook group buying and selling tickets UMich, it's a really good way to get student tickets because if you're a student basketball season ticket holder, you have to go to a certain number of games. And if you miss more games than you're supposed to, you start losing points and then you're not eligible to get tickets later that season that you've literally already paid for. So a lot of people will try to sell their tickets or at least give them away so that they can get those points. So make sure you're in that group so you can catch those students who 3 hours before the game realize they can't go and they don't want to lose their points for it. And also, if you have to walk to the game, don't wear your white Nikes.
Good point. Wear some snow boots.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just said that. So we have a little bit of national basketball news for those of you who want to get a little bit caught up. Duke lost to Syracuse and it was the most fun I've ever had. I wasn't there. I was on my couch. So was Harley.
I was with Hannah.
We were like, pip, pip, cheerio.
We really did. We talked in like stupid, fake, horrible, Americanized British accents.
I was trying to sound Australian. I was trying to sound like Jack White, but I don't know what Australians sound like.
No. So it was like, definitely a weird
get
British.
The ball in the new bag.
Okay.
But that was a fun game to watch. And we were like, when we watched that, we're like, oh my gosh, maybe Michigan will be ranked number one. And then honestly, we can't do it. No, we'll never be ahead of Duke. What was I thinking?
That's a good point. I think it's only a matter of time before Duke is back at number one.
Oh, for sure. I asked my cousin, I said, after the Michigan game, before the UVA game, mm-hmm. I was like, do you think Duke is unbeatable? And he was like, yes. And I was like, you know they've lost twice. And he goes, you know they had the best recruiting class in, like, the history of college basketball. And I was like, they've lost twice. They're not unbeatable.
So it goes.
And that's pretty much captures the national narrative about Duke. Tennessee is number one in the country, which is probably...
I was mad about it, but I understand because Duke did lose to an unranked Syracuse only to beat number four UVA. And I wish I was UVA because I lost to Duke, but like moved up in the rankings. But
just playing Duke moves you up in the rankings.
I guess maybe we should play Duke.
Iggy wants to.
I don't want to take advice from a freshman.
And then we're just a couple ahead of MSU, and we're playing MSU in not that long.
Ugh.
I really, really...
not looking forward to
that. Yeah. That's one
that's
of
too far
in advance.
Let's just cut it off.
Really wanna, yeah,
let's just cut that off.
Let's
not
I'm like,
talk.
Bad vibes now.
The only thing that I am happy that the AP did for us is that they didn't put us behind MSU. That's the only thing I'm thankful for.
Yes, thank you, AP. And this next little segment, we wanted to call it We Get It Already, because if you follow sports at all, you know they fixate on the same things over and over again. We've touched on this throughout the entire thing because it is so annoying, but everyone is in love with Duke, and it's like literally I have to turn on the volume when I watch away games because every time there's a good shot, they're like, that was a great shot from Ignis Brazdeikis. You know who else has a great shot? Zion Williamson. And that's so annoying.
Speaking of, yeah, you can be on the most obscure like network, specifically the Big Ten network, because I don't really watch anything else. And they're probably talking about Duke basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess everyone just wishes they were an ACC announcer.
I guess.
I wish I was there. I wish I was in Coach K Arena. Maybe someday.
Another we get it already. I don't really fall. I do fall. I don't really follow the NFL that much. I occasionally will get kind of into it, but usually I'm like, Saturdays are for the boys, Sundays I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah,
but I usually
Sundays for homework, man.
Yeah, Sundays are for homework. So when I grow up I wanna start watching NFL games, but I have to spend my Sundays doing homework right now. But so like some vibes happened the other day and it's all I can see on Twitter now. So I just like haven't been going on Twitter because I'm like, I feel left out and confused. So there's that.
Just after the AFC and the NFC championship games?
Yes, I was playing in the snow during those games.
Oh yeah,
so
we were.
Yeah.
Well, to no one's surprise ever, the Patriots won, I believe in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
No shocker there. But the big news and the most circulated right now is the blown pass interference call during the Saints game. And it just caused them to question just like the imperfectness of like the system and how some things are swayed one way or another based off of plays, play callers, coaches, etc. And I sympathize heavily with the Saints. I've had many a blown call in my life, specifically Ohio State, when JT Barrett was short. And specifically when Trey Burke shot block was definitely clean, and I'm pissed about it to this day.
That just put me in a bad mood.
No offense, but yeah, I can sympathize. I understand. But at some point, we recognize that the system is never going to be perfect and that we just got to rebuild from that and win.
Vibe the vibes.
Sure.
Yeah, that was deep. Thank you.
No problem.
Implement that into my life. We wanted to talk a little bit about football. There's not a lot to talk about right now. We actually put the football team into timeout.
Yeah.
Carly and I did. We are not allowed to think about them or talk about them for a little bit, but we still do. Yeah, there's not that much news in the past week. We go back the past couple weeks. There are a lot of staff changes, but I don't think we're going to go into that because you probably already know by now. But just know that football is coming out of their timeout soon, and we will have some more news. Do football ever come out of their timeout?
No.
They broke my heart too much. I'm not taking them out.
Yeah, no pie for you.
Yeah. We're going to bake a pie for John Beilein and his little pals. So if anyone's interested and can give me their information so I can drop off the pie, I really just wanted to like thank them for all their efforts. Do we have anything else that we wanted to discuss before we go?
I think that's it. It's pretty lengthy.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know that was kind of, we're blabbering. We're still learning how to do all of this, but hopefully you had some fun, maybe had a laugh or
two. It's all a learning process, you know? It's all a Wisconsin game.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to move forward and learn just like the basketball team is. We're all
That's
in this
right.
together.
Oh, man.
If you want to find us on social media, my Twitter is Hannah_H227, and my Instagram is Hannah.Harshe, HannahH.Harshe. I will follow back if I want to. Not everyone.
What fake promises. My Insta and Twitter handles are both the same. It's at Harley_JohnsonX. We'd be happy to hear your thoughts and to like talk basketball and football. It's like our favorite things to talk about. And yeah.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, suggestions, vibes.
Vibe the vibes.
Feel free to drop that.
And then just as a reminder, our podcasts are available under Maize and Brew Podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, directly on Maize and Brew. So don't forget to subscribe and rate and spread the word. Tell your friends, pass out business cards. Give people blueberry pies with little, like, you know,
specifically M-Go Blueberry.
M-Go Blueberry Pie. And on that note, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.